The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome to another day. Great to have all of you here on this Tuesday. Thanks for being a part of the program. We think we have a pretty good show on tap, and we hope you'll just stick around as long as you can. If you can stick around the whole show, that's 4 hours of your life right there. Let's get to some headlines and let you know what is happening. And yeah, the Florida situation remains interesting. What should they do? They have two good quarterbacks, or do they? I know one thing is certain. They have Alabama coming in this weekend. How about Shane Beamer? Remember, he was here last night telling us that his kids were second-guessing him. Today, he's not second-guessing anyone. He's laying the platitudes at the feet of Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs. Can you guess that is the next game Saturday night?
You guys know better than me. Many of you have followed SEC football longer than I have, but he may have, probably does have, the most talented football team in the history of Georgia football. And that's not an embellishment and coach speak and all of that. When you look at from top to bottom, the 11 that start on offense, the 11 that start on defense, all of their special teams units, the depth they have, the size, the physicality, the speed they have.
Hold on just a second. He just got through saying you guys have covered it longer than I have. So in other words, I'm not really an expert, but this is the best Georgia team of all time. Okay, that we can get back to the show. I was just wondering. I was just talking to myself there. Does that make any sense? Will Muschamp is helping Georgia prepare for South Carolina. No, he's at Georgia now. He's no longer in South Carolina. Remember 2 years ago, Will Muschamp led an upset of those Dogs, and now he works for them. But he's still collecting money from South Carolina, by the way. Southern Cal continues to look for a new coach. It was about this moment a day ago that Southern Cal Athletic Director Mike Bone called in Clay Helton and said, "You're gone. I know there's only been two games. We've seen enough. Here's $10 million or $12 million or whatever we owe you. Just get out of here as fast as possible." We'll talk about that with one of the great Southern Cal players of all time in 30 minutes, Keyshawn Johnson. Clay Helton. So who is going to take his place? We talked a lot about it yesterday. Could be James Franklin. He's got a game this weekend against Auburn. Mario Cristobal, who's been here a few times. Or maybe Gus Malzahn. I was just making that up. Jim Harbaugh, would he be available? Yes, he would be available. Jim Harbaugh is renaming a drill inspired to beat Ohio State. He's still trying to do that after 57 years in Ann Arbor. You know what? After watching Ohio State the other day, he might have a chance this year. What are we up to today? Glad you asked. Keyshawn Johnson. Remember that book he wrote?
No.
Just Throw Me the Blanking Ball. Actually, it wasn't that bad. Billy Lucci on Texas A&M's problems, Matt Stinchcomb, and John Talty from AL.com will join us to get us ready for Alabama heading down to Florida. And your phone call is at 855-242-7285. One of my favorite moments every day. I look at that board for the first time. I have not peeked. I have no idea if there are any calls. Wouldn't that be weird if I looked down there one day and didn't see a single call? It's happened. It's happened, I promise you. Let's get to the calls and talk to Pat in Georgia.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I wanted to talk about the Georgia-South Carolina game. In South Carolina, they travel very well. But first, in your opinion, did Georgia's offense answer the bell last Saturday, or was that just UAB?
I frankly thought UAB had a good team, so I was a little bit surprised by that. I think we saw Georgia against a defense that's not among the two or three best in the country, and they let loose just like we thought they would.
Well, that's good because that was probably suspect after the Clemson game. I'd start Stetson Bennett. What would you start Stetson Bennett if you were Kirby?
Depends on the health of JT Daniels. If JT was healthy, I would start him. I think I don't believe in playing musical chairs, but I really don't think it matters. I think they'll destroy South Carolina, whether Stetson Bennett, Zach Bennett, Bennett Jones, or Pat from Georgia was the quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have no eligibility left. Well, South Carolina travels well. I'm interested in what Cat Daddy has to say about the game coming up. I think it's a win, and I think Georgia will show up, and they've got some revenge going from 2 years ago.
Think they do. And by the way, I don't think it matters whether they travel well or not. They're playing in Georgia on a Saturday night, and I have a feeling the Dog fans are going to be ready. Mike is up next in Alabama. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
Mike, we're doing great. Thank you.
Been keeping up with you, Paul, for quite a few years. I'm 72 years old up here in downtown Jasper, Alabama.
Oh, Walker County.
And one of my favorite things now that I'm retired from 2 to 6 every day, you know, I'm free and I can come in and sit down if I want to. And I really enjoy your show,
enjoy your
callers. And like I say, I'm making a to-do list and things since I'm 72. I thought of, in case I missed anything. And I was down to number 3, and all of a sudden Taylor Hicks comes on there and says, call Paul. And I said, okay, number 3, be call Paul, and I have. But I did have a question. Nick Saban, and, you know, we're loving him here at Alabama, and we know who recruited him. But I'm wondering who recruited the recruiter that got Nick Saban to Alabama. That would have been back in the early 1960s.
So you're talking about Mal Moore?
Yeah, of course, Mal Moore.
So
somebody had to recruit him to Alabama.
Yeah,
to Alabama needs a pat on the back.
I do know that story pretty well. it's a funny story, really. Mal Moore, where was Mal from? He was from somewhere near, not too far from Tuscaloosa, I believe.
Right.
And Mal was a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he was recruited to Alabama by, I'm trying to think whether Howard Schnellenberger would have still, I think, yeah, Howard definitely would have been there at the time. And mm-hmm. he thought he was going to be he told me this story once at lunch. He said, you know, I thought I was going to be the starting quarterback. And I looked around, and there was this kid from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, also on the depth chart, which turned out to be Joe Namath.
You always got a Yankee messing it up, don't
you? Yeah. but he had an amazing career, and a better man has never been born and walked the face of this earth than Mal Moore.
That's correct. Paul, keep up the good work. Listen, I know everybody loves you, but us old folks just can't hardly do without you, buddy.
Well, Mike, I can't tell you how much that means to me, and I appreciate that. And you continue to stay in touch with us. Is that what you, Randy, when you retire, are you going to watch the Feinbaum show every day? You do watch it every day, and you are retired. Okay, we've answered that question. Let's go to a break. This guy's the only guy I know that retired and still works on the Feinbaum show, which is all true, by the way. We'll take a break. Your phone calls continue. And Keyshawn Johnson, if you've never heard Keyshawn, you are in for a treat here in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Okay, welcome back. To my friend a minute ago from Jasper, Alabama, I have an update, and I was incorrect about Mal Moore. He was technically recruited by the previous staff that preceded Coach Bryant. And so he did meet Coach Bryant and used to jokingly tell the story that the first time he met him, he was shaking so much. Bryant said hello to him. He said, I'm Mal Moore. Nice to meet you, Bear. And he said he never made that mistake again. He was from Dozier, Alabama, which I believe is more south central Alabama, near Laverne, Alabama, on the way to the beach. Anything else you want to know about Mal Moore, I'll be more than happy to provide you with a signed copy of his book, which he did write. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Brian, who is in New Jersey. Hello, Brian.
How are you, Paul? I want to know how Jackson State beat a great team like Florida State. Can you shed some light on that, please?
Florida State's a joke. They have undisciplined players. They let an easy play, should have been the end of the game, turn into the winning touchdown.
So now is Jackson State going to be like a team that's going to be a sleeper team to get into the national championship 14
no,
thingy?
No. First of all, it's called Jacksonville State. It's an FCS team, so I don't think you're going to see them as a challenger for the CFP.
Okay.
Anything else?
What about Florida State? You think they'll bounce back?
No, I don't. I think Florida State is dead. I think their season went down the drain, and I see no road back for that program.
Thank you.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, did you enjoy the play? I thought after the Notre Dame game, the Seminoles had a lot to build on, but I think they threw it all away. And you can't. I mean, I didn't see anything in that game that impressed me. I mean, watch the last play of the game. It tells you everything you need to know about that program. Let's continue. And Sam is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Paul. Not a frequent caller, but a very frequent listener. Very much like Mike from Jasper. I'm recently retired, and I'm also 72 years old. And I think we're headed into what I call the best 100 to 120 days of college sports. And I just wanted to call and commend you all for the good job that you do. I'm a little bit of a traditionalist, Paul, and if you'll help me, I'd like you to champion something that, you know, we got Texas and Oklahoma coming in 24 to 36 months maybe, and we need to straighten out something for Texas, okay? Do me a favor. Raise your right hand up and hold up your index finger and your little finger. And that's the way people in Texas right now kind of do the hook 'em horns. Well, in my heyday back in the middle of the last century, hook 'em horns was the index finger, the middle finger, and the third finger were down. The little finger stuck out and the thumb stuck out. And if you hold your hand up like that, that is hook 'em horns.
Oh, so I don't even think I can do that.
And they need to straighten it out. And your place is a clearinghouse for the top drawer league in the country, Southeastern Conference. And if you do that, you could straighten those people from Texas out.
I know horns down better than horns up. I had enough people in Arkansas teach me how to do it.
Yes. Well, hey, hold your hand up now. Now,
I don't
put
think
your index
I can do that.
Finger
I,
down.
What do you call this when your fingers are weird? When disjointed?
Put your index finger, your middle finger, and your third finger down. That way your little finger and your thumb stick straight out.
Stick your finger in front of the camera, Randy.
And if you do that, that's the way a Texas Longhorn steer looks.
Is that a steer right there? Okay.
Well, turn your hand around. I'm holding mine up here at home right now. That's Hook'em Horns.
But, you know, you're right. I mean, every steer I've ever known look more like that than the traditional one. Hey, thanks so much for the call. We have plenty of time to get an education on the on Horns Up. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Pappy, who is up next in Houston. Hello, Pappy.
How you doing, Paul? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm just curious. From my assessment, presuming we win the other two, and I'm talking about LSU, win the other two cupcake games, we've got to win three games, three SEC games, to avoid a losing season, and four to have a winning season. Could you go down the schedule and let me know which three or four teams you think we have the best shot at this point in time, considering all the play from the first 2 weeks of this season?
Okay, here's the LSU schedule. So I see a win against Central Michigan. That puts you at 2-1. And I, for the life of me, cannot predict any other game other than Monroe. I see four automatic wins. Three wins. And give me a fourth win. What's the next easiest win? I can't find one.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Now, if you want to talk about what the most critical game of the season is going to be, it's going to be Mississippi State. A loss there is going to devastate the season, because then you got Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, at Ole Miss, at Alabama. I mean, that is a murderer's row. And then the Arkansas A&M finish. So I happen to think LSU will get through some of the – I don't think LSU will have a losing season. I think they'll have a winning season. And it's just
four SEC teams. Okay.
I think the most winnable games are going to be Auburn and Arkansas.
Okay. Arkansas looked pretty good last weekend.
And really, the reason's simple. They're at home.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate your analysis. Yeah. I just wanted to
thank you.
Enjoy your program.
Interesting about your call is we went from thinking LSU would go 10-2 easily to now we're not sure where they're going to win it. I mean, you don't know yet. I still happen to think they've got a lot of great players on that team. So I would go on the high side, but I really do need to see the Mississippi State game, because LSU has left a lot to be desired. Mitch is up next in Florida. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Mitch, we are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'm a Tennessee ball down here in Florida, and I wanted to talk about the quarterback situation at UT Knoxville.
Okay, sure.
I just can't help but feel that Harrison Bailey, that they put those two quarterbacks in before him, and why wouldn't Harrison Bailey go to the transfer portal if them coaches felt like them two quarterbacks was better than him?
Well, you're right. I mean, one from Virginia Tech, one from Michigan, and suddenly you think you have a shot at starting, being a starter, and the next thing you know, you're relegated to the back of the bench.
Yeah, Milton, I mean, wide receivers running open, and he's throwing it 100 miles an hour over their head. And the hooker, he could throw a little bit around the line of scrimmage, but I just don't believe that either one of them are better than Harrison Bailey, who was recruited by Tennessee into their program.
Well, Mitch, I think it comes under the heading of, new is better. We see that in every industry, in every business. And I suspect Josh Heupel got there and said, you know what, I don't like what the previous group had, and I'm going to go shopping. And I found Milton, and I found Hooker from Virginia Tech and from in Michigan. And so far, it hasn't worked out. I'm not saying it can't. I mean, he is a really good developer of offensive talent, but so far it's been a rough ride. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We are going to take a break. A lot to do here over the next 3.5 hours. Keyshawn Johnson wants the first pick in the NFL draft. He'll join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and it is great to have Keyshawn Johnson on the program, who is, of course, part of ESPN Radio's morning team, and you see him all the time. And he's truly one of the great football players in college and NFL history, the first player taken in the NFL draft after he was an All-American at USC. Keyshawn, it is really, I've been with you a million times on your shows. I've been around you, and what a pleasure to have you come into our little neighborhood. Good afternoon.
No, your neighborhood's not small, man. Not with that. What do I call it? Do I call it the Feinbaum Nation? because you certainly have a following from the east to the west coast and all in between, for sure.
Well, I was with you and Max Kellerman this morning, and Kellerman was impugning my good name about my shrinking influence in college football. And the main reason is that, you know, usually I get accused of being a coach killer, but you ended up getting a coach fired this time around. Keyshawn, very outspoken about Clay Helton in the aftermath of the embarrassment Saturday night. And Keyshawn, of course, it seemed like it was inevitable once that game ended. You seemed to be ahead of the curve on that.
Well, I think you know, it was something that needed to happen at the time. And our leadership, we needed to go in another direction in order to get back on track. As you know, many years that you've covered college football, we are a proud program that has kind of been repeat, wash, and rinse. And we wanted to finally get away from that. Yes, if we were in the Final Four at the end of the season, Clay Helton gets an extension. If we lose a game, he probably gets fired. Well, guess what? We lost the game. And I think this was the situation. Mike Bone, the athletic director, had an opportunity to evaluate Clay Helton over a period of time, and he came away feeling, along with Carol Folks, the president of the university, that it was time to make a leadership change. And, you know, when you are proud of your university and you want to see your university talked about with the likes of the Alabamas, the Clemson, the Ohio States of the world right now in college football, that is something that you want to hear. You don't want to hear that Oregon in the Pac-12 is, you know, head and shoulders above the USC football program. You don't want to hear that, because as much money as Phil Knight has and as much money as Phil Knight can pump into Oregon's athletic program, Phil Knight is not the University of Southern California. I'll touch down in deeper conversation and roots, Paul. If you go back to 1970 and the late Sam Bam Cunningham, and I tell people this all the time, I say, he is the reason the SEC is the SEC. He integrated African-Americans, or he better yet, his play persuaded Bear Bryant to integrate the Alabama football program, but that was all part of USC. When you have that rich history of something, you want to make sure that that continues. And we got away from that. We got away from that rich history, and now we're trying to get back there, and hopefully – whoever they hire as the next head coach will understand this is not a university and this is not a game to play with when you come to be a Trojan head coach.
And Keyshawn, I want to talk about that for a second, because you're right. And you know, a lot of younger people watching or listening. I mean, they know Pete Carroll and they've seen what's happened since then. But John McKay is one of the greatest coaches in college football history. John Robinson. There's a long line of SC coaches who are part of the Hall of Fame and who helped build this. When you played there, you grew up in Los Angeles. I'm curious what it was like to be part of that university, because it has lost some of that, at least from a perceptive standpoint.
You know, Paul, I grew up a stone throw away from the university. My apartment building, we can sit on top. It's almost like the Chicago Cubs stadium. I can sit on top of our roof and watch Mark McGwire hit a home run or Randy Johnson strike out people when I was growing up. That was all I knew. If you didn't want to go to USC, it was either one thing: you were not good enough. It wasn't a matter of any. It wasn't even close to anything other than, well, he's probably not good enough, that's why he's going somewhere else. In this day and age, we got players leaving Southern California to go all over the country. That is not acceptable. You breathe Cardinal in gold. It's the one program on the West Coast that I would say people support the university's football program, even though they didn't attend the university. I'll say it again. There are people that are USC fans that did not attend the university. That is how rich the supporting system is in the football program. And it's. I remember running out of the tunnel in 1995. And when I came out of the Coliseum tunnel and I stepped on the grass, Paul, you thought I was a six-year-old baby who stepped on a nail. I cried with big tears because I finally got a chance to run out of the tunnel with a USC uniform on. And it was an amazing feeling. And that is what we have always been about, guys dreaming as kids of becoming USC football players. You go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, there are kids who dream of running out of the LSU tunnel. You go to Alabama, oh my God, there are kids that dream of running out of Alabama's tunnel. Well, that's not the case at USC anymore, and we've got to get back to that.
Keyshawn, the question that's been asked all day long, or at least since yesterday, is, you know, what should the leadership at this university, your university, do? I know you are part of that. You'll be consulted. You'll be asked. What would you tell them if and when they ask you?
Let's just get it right. Let's get it right. Let's not rush. Let's not do something for self-preservation. A lot of times we felt as part of the university and that the several hires in the past was because the athletic department, many people were in the athletic department for many years. So the easy thing was, hey, let's hire somebody that was a part of Pete Carroll's situation, and we now could be taken care of and make sure it's self-preservation. We don't go anywhere. Everything will be fine. Let's hire Lane Kiffin. Let's hire Steve Sarkisian. Oh, let's fire Lane Kiffin. Let's not go and bring anybody up. We're going to get Sark. Oh, let's fire Sark. Oh, the best thing to do is just hire somebody on his staff. Is self-preservation. What I would say, though, to that is, at that time, based on where Steve Sarkisian was in his personal life and where our university was, the best thing to do was hire somebody who calmed the waters, and that guy was Clay Helton. He was not going to create the same sort of issues that a young, immature Lane Kiffin created or a young, immature Steve Sarkisian created for the university. He was going to be stabilized, and hopefully he would mature into that head coaching role and get us over the top for the national championship. Now, we've seen that. Now, we need to hire somebody that can take us to the next step. Who that somebody is right now, Paul, I have no idea. I have no idea. I know what a person will look like when I see it, but right now I don't know.
Keyshawn Johnson with us. Before you go, Keyshawn, you mentioned Sam Cunningham and the role he played. I know you've been working on a project, and a book is coming out or is out, entitled The Forgotten First, The Breaking of the NFL Color Barrier. How did this come about?
Well, Bob Glauber is a Hall of Fame writer here in New York for New York Daily News. He covered me when I was with the New York Jets. And him and I, with all the things that have gone on with our country, society, the world over the last several months, we decided to write a book called The Forgotten First, Breaking the Color Barrier, where it was the reintegration of four NFL players, two drafted by the Los Angeles Rams and Kenny Washington and Billy Strode, and two drafted by the Cleveland Browns and Marion Motley and Bill Willis. So it became one of those deals where they were reintegrated in the National Football League. Fritz Pollard was the first African-American player, but then there was a hiatus of about 12 years where no blacks were allowed to play in the National Football League. In fact, Kenny Washington was a teammate of Jackie Robinson, who was the first African-American baseball player in the major leagues. And they both went to UCLA. They formed a pretty good tandem on the football team. And so with that, we just decided to dive deep into it to really get people an understanding of how far the National Football League has come in reference of people of color in breaking that color barrier and being part of the NFL. The book will be released on September 21st. Right now, you can order it, pre-order it, obviously, on Amazon and Apple and a whole bunch of other stores and people, book outlets that carry it. But it's really a great read, I must say. You must go out there and get it if you are into understanding what it was like for that that time period and where we are today.
I hope people will, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention one of my favorite books of all time, the book you wrote after your rookie season. And if ever a title of a book described the individual, the name of the book is just Give Me the Damn Ball. That is you, Keyshawn Johnson. That was your first book many, many years ago.
Yes, that is correct, Paul. it was a book that was it was kind of depicting my rookie season in the National Football League. So why would you write that book? Why would you write that book? Well, yeah, I had to write it because I did a deal that said write a book about my rookie season. If we were 15-1, I would have wrote about us being 15-1 and going to the playoffs. We were not 15-1. We were 1-15, and it felt like somebody that dropped in hell. So that was it. It's more than just about football. It was about my life growing up as a kid and having an opportunity to get the ball to further my life. Meaning, you know, when I pitched in baseball, they handed it to me. When they needed a shot in basketball, they handed it to me. When football, when they needed a run or a catch or throw, they let me do it. So all that did was allow me to get an education because I got a scholarship. But if I didn't play sports, I probably wouldn't have got the education I got because I wouldn't have been able to afford to go to college at that time period, especially a university like USC. So that's kind of what the title is all about. A lot of people think it's about me asking for the football, you know, and it's really not. You can too find that on Amazon still, I'm sure.
Well, I hope people will read both, especially the one that's coming out next week. Keyshawn, we have had a lot of fun over the years on the air, and I can't thank you enough for coming on. You're always a blast to be with.
No problem, Paul, always.
The great Keyshawn Johnson joining us, and we will take a very short break. More of your phone calls and more guests right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and it's great to have David up next in New York. Hello, David.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for the call.
It's an honor to talk to you. I've been following you for a long, long time, and I've been following the SEC for over 50 years. I bleed SEC, and I'm over 70 now. And it's just it's big boy football, because there certainly isn't any big boy football up where I live. And Alabama's always been my favorite team. And another team I really like is LSU, but Ed Orgeron's got to go. I like him as a guy, as a person, but he's not going to get the job done. And there's just too much great high school football in the state of Louisiana to see what's happening with LSU. And I think he caught lightning in a bottle 2 years ago. I mean, he had the perfect quarterback with Joe Burrow and the wide receivers, the running backs, the defense, the offensive and defensive coordinator. And I think I could have coached that team to a national championship. But I just can't see them holding on with him anymore. I just can't see it. But that's all I really wanted to say. And I listen to you every day. And you got a great show. And it's an honor to talk to you.
Well, David, it was my pleasure to get a chance to say hello. Thank you very much, and hopefully we can do this soon. Let me share with you this from Ross Dellinger. Officials are set to pass a one-year waiver next month to immediately expand the 25-man football signing limit. Coaches can replace up to 7 players who leave for the portal. Max signing would be 32, 25 plus 7. Do all of you understand that? If you don't, please tweet Mr. Dellinger, because I am mathematically challenged. Sean is in Maryland. You're on the air. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Paul. I'm 11, and I just got to talk about Georgia real quick.
Let's do it.
All right. So I know most Georgia fans come on here talking about stuff, and I don't think, really, honestly, I don't think we're really too much better than Bama this year. But, I mean, as a Georgia fan, I'm going to say we're going to win the national championship. But I know we're the second best team in the college football, because last year the most highest drafted players were Alabama, Ohio State, and we were at number 3. So I think we have a chance to go win some games. But I think definitely we'll face Bama twice, probably in the SEC championship and a national championship.
I'm asking this question not specifically to you, Sean, but why are our 11-year-old, 8-year-old callers make more sense than the Larrys from Shelby and some of that? I mean, I don't know. Did I miss something? Why are young people so good on this show? Maybe they're not. Can you, Sean? What do you think it is? You think you have less exposure to the show? Maybe you're not as hardened by it.
I watch the show a lot. I hear a lot of the older people calling, and I
hey, Sean, just out of curiosity, Sean, you're 11 years old. What is old? What is old to you? 25?
Nah, you old to me is about 60.
60? What, Sean? You're right. If you're 60 and you're still trying to do something, you might as well give it up. Sean, thank you so much for the call. You got to ruin my day. We had it going. They always tell you in law school, never ask a question you don't know the answer to. Just walked into that one. We'll be right back.